Welcome to the Coconetics Podcast. This is episode 37, recorded May 18, 2012. WWDC Scholarship. Hi, I'm your host, Oliver. And if you missed last week's episode, well, don't fret. There was no last week's episode. I actually wasn't able to do one because my ISP had a strange routing problem. I wasn't able to get to my server, which is located in Germany, and I'm located in Austria, and they were more or less sending the data packets in circles before sending them to Germany, so everything was kind of really slow, and they only fixed that about, well, 3 days ago. And then there was this other thing, I complained about earlier, my MacBook Air, which I was using for recording, was having really strange problems. It was shutting down by itself all the time. And the first thing that the authorized service provider did, they changed the logic board. That worked not at all. I still got it to shut down by itself. Well, it did that twice when I got it back. Then it didn't do it for a week. And then it started doing it again. So I sent it back to the service provider, repair center, I think it's called, authorized repair center. And what they did the second time was they exchanged the top case. So apparently the power button had some sort of short or weird connection. So the Mac would think that I was pushing the shutdown button all the time, and that caused it. And now, so far, it's fine. Though I'm not on my MacBook Air now, I have a old iMac that I set up for recording so that I don't have this problem in the future. Now, that's more or less a long-winded excuse why I don't have any news prepared, but really, there are not really much news, real news, besides all the rumors that we keep hearing about, somebody saw iOS 6 on a server log somewhere, and then there are rumors about new MacBooks coming, maybe now that Sandy Bridge is out, but it's not really out because the mobile Sandy Bridge is only coming next month. Oh, next month there's the WWDC, so maybe, just maybe, there will be an announcement there. Well, we're going to discuss this and a few other things with my special guest that I have on the show tonight. His name is Paul Danahue. He's from Connecticut, and he's 13 years of age, and he's of course still going to school, and has been developing for iOS even since 2008, and he told me really seriously since 2 years ago. So hi, Paul.
Hi, Oliver.
How are you today?
I'm good. Pretty good.
You're one of the lucky people who actually won a WWDC scholarship. Right.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Once I won that, I was like really not thinking that would happen, but I was really excited to get that.
Now, to put this in perspective, this is the first year ever that Apple allowed minors onto the premises of the WWDC, as far as I'm aware, right?
Yeah, that is true. And before it was...
Yes, say again.
Yeah, before it was 18 and up, I believe last year Phil Schiller did a few exceptions. It could have been just one for a few people, but this is the first year that minors are allowed to go. So that's really exciting.
It's not as if Apple is unable to sell out the conference in record time. Now they also allow minors on the premises. So where is this going? Can you give us a bit of background? Do you have some apps on the App Store? How did you get to develop for iOS? Can you give us a bit of info there?
Sure. My dad used to be, I should say, a very, very big Apple fan. And I think it was like when I was two, he got me my first computer. So that was a big influence on everything. And I initially began development on the Mac with a few apps. I was really into the computer, and what happened is when I didn't like something on the computer, I would tweak it. So the tweaking of the computers really led to the programming. So I started programming in 2008, seriously, and around 2010, and pretty much been developing ever since then. A big influence was design as well, because I really enjoyed doing that. So
But
that's,
wait.
yeah.
So your father is a Apple fan. He basically g gives you as a first plaything at the sweet age of two a MacBook or something, and that's basically all it took. Or was there some more nudging or kind of something on that your parents did to get you interested in this technology?
Well, yeah, I mean, my dad was such a huge fan when I was younger. I mean, he's not anymore. He doesn't even own a computer anymore, so that's
Really?
kind of funny.
How does
But
he get by today without a computer?
well, he has a Windows XP computer at his work, so
So that put him off computers for his spare time.
yeah, pretty much. So, yeah. I mean, I had my first computers in iMac, G3, when I was two, so very, very young, way too young for a computer, in my opinion. In like 2007, I fixed a PowerBook that my mom threw away, and I took it out of the trash. And apparently, it was a computer that the Genius Bar couldn't fix, and it took me about a month of like random stuff. But so I fixed it, and because of that, I guess they saw that I was interested in computers, so they kind of started working with me on that a bit more. And then I founded Pat Software in 2008, and ever since then I've been developing apps. And in 2011, that was my first year on the App Store, so actually selling stuff on the App Store.
Well, it's kind of funny. So you sound like one of those decades, two decades ago, started developing on the Apple ecosystem and so on, like one of the old guys in air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just started developing on Mac and iOS when the SDK came out. So you are way ahead of me, even though I'm almost, well, I'm three times your age. So it's kind of really a funny situation. You are being the more experienced of us when it comes to old Mac hardware.
Yeah, that could be true. I'm not that gifted in terms of the programming stuff. That's what's going to be a huge benefit of going to WWDC, is learning a bit more in that area. But in the hardware, definitely done a lot in that. But again, software, I'm not that skilled in. I've
Well,
only done it seriously
you
for
are
2 years.
still young. You are still young. You have lots of time. And have you ever heard about the 10,000 hour rule? Have you heard about that ever?
No,
10,000.
actually haven't.
10,000. There's a book by Malcolm Gladwell I can recommend to you. It's called Outliers, and it basically says, amongst other things, that all the greats in all the different kinds of areas, be it computers or be it music or be it basketball, seem to have in common that they spend 10,000 hours on what they are good at. So it's very rarely that somebody is sort of gifted or kind of is a genius and becomes great because of that. But most of the time, it were the right circumstances, like for example, Bill Gates being in a community where they had access to computers and then spending lots and lots and lots of time on this, about 10,000 hours, so as a rule of thumb, and that led to them being at the kind of world top. So starting at a young age gives you the immediate advantage if you are spending a couple of hours every day on any topic really, and in this case iOS or Mac, then you will gather these 10,000 hours by the time you are 18 or something and will be world class. So you don't have to be now, you just have to get started and do a bit every day.
Yeah, that is a good point.
So sorry, I didn't want to go over you like this, and but just a little bit blow your mind. you still have a great future ahead of you. So you got into Mac development. Did you immediately start on iOS when the iPhone came out?
Actually, no. I should clarify, I've been developing on the Mac seriously since 2010, developing on the Mac since 2008. iOS, I only started like 6 months ago. So iOS, I'm very new to. The Mac, I've done a lot more in. So I haven't even released really an iOS app yet.
All right.
I've released two small ones. But
yeah. So how do you get from tinkering around on Mac apps to actually applying for the scholarship and then actually winning it? Can you give us the story there?
Sure. Well, with the scholarships, they award them based off creativity of ideas and experience. Those are the two main things that they talked about for the scholarships, I think. And tinkering can show you how you can make things better than they already are. So you might have a great app, but you only want to make it better. So when you tinker, you're just improving what's already there. But when you're creating an app, you're trying to almost recreate the app in a so much better way, and you're ending up giving it to other people or selling it to other people. So from tinkering to developing, it's very, very similar. Just one, you're basing off something that's already been created, and then when you're developing, you're creating something from scratch. And when I look at an app, most of my apps, what I try to do is keep them very basic, very simple, but they get the job done and very efficiently. For example, Evernote, I don't want to poke fun at another app, but Evernote has lots of buttons, it's a full window, stuff like that. And one of my apps, and I would consider my best app, Scrawl, puts it in the menu bar. It's very small, out of the way, but it's available whenever you want to use it. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea and the premise behind pretty much all the apps I create now, is to keep them very simple and very basic, but very powerful at the same time. So when I applied for the scholarship, they asked for three apps I've already created that are available on the App Store. So I gave the three Mac apps that I have. Scrawl, More Memory, and iSleep. And then they asked for an idea that I was creating. And right now, I am creating a grocery list app that's on the Mac and iOS platform. So it's going to be my first major iOS app. And then it syncs via iCloud. And it's going to be a menu bar app on the Mac as well. And it's obviously going to be a full window app on the iPhone and iPod Touch. So my guess is that based off the ideas and my previous apps, that's how I won the scholarship. But you never know.
Well, did you need to take some sort of test, Or was it just this application that you had to fill out?
It was just an application. You had a, again, idea. You also had to talk about what you've done in the past, three apps, and you also had to get a letter from your school saying that you're a good student, pretty much. I'm actually homeschooled, so my parents wrote one up.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, it is.
I guess it's much more difficult to get such a letter actually from the school. You would probably need to get sort of the grades or something, or maybe the director or your main teacher to write you something up like that.
Yeah, probably. So you have to go to the school. They'll have to make sure that you can skip that week, probably. And my guess is that it'll take some time for them to write up. But because my parents were willing to write this up, I was able to submit the application on the day the application was available. So.
Is this more because of the 5 days that you won't be attending school that you wouldn't fall too far behind? Or is it that Apple is sort of using this as a means to weed out or kind of to filter that they only have smart and bright individuals?
Well, I don't think it's really either of those. I just think they want people that will actually listen and apply the things they're doing in the classes at WWDC, and probably the while they're listening to the classes that they'll thoroughly listen to it, so they're not like goofing off or anything. So that's my guess.
Also, you think
So.
that being a good student means you are a good listener and are able to take what you hear and see in the presentations and apply it to your own life?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. If you can't really learn from others, you're not going to be a really good student at all. So that would be good to apply your own life. But I also think being a good student, you have to be creative. You can't just like write something because you have to write something, you know? You have to think out of the box when you're listening to the classes. So if you're listening to a class on design, for example, let's take a checkbox, for example, you don't want, and there, if they give the basic example, like at a design class at WWDC, like you should have a checkbox be this size, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to just then apply it and do pretty much an exact copy of that checkbox. You know what I'm saying? You want to make something different, but based off the principles that they outlined.
So I keep hearing that you mention classes. Now I have been to WWC the first time myself last year. I didn't see any classes there. Is there something special for you students, or is it just that you don't know how it will actually be like at WWC, so that you call it classes?
Well, I'm just naming it classes, whatever you want to call it, the sessions.
Yeah, sessions,
Yeah.
presentations or talks. Okay, so you will end up sitting in the same kinds of talks or sessions that everybody else is, right?
Yeah. There's no special things. The only thing is they exclude you from the bash, which I'm okay
Well,
with. Don't
the bash is
so.
just there were some students who asked on Twitter what the bash is. The bash is basically a rock band playing music and beer and food being served. And all of that is happening in not at the Moscone Center, but at the Yerba Buena blah blah of the arts, whatever. It's across the street, and it's basically if the weather's nice, an open air concert. So you're not missing out on much there. I think the main interesting content for you will be definitely at WWC. And it will also be the kinds of people that you meet there, because there's lots of role models to be had at WWDC. The thing that I made a mistake going to WWDC for the first time was you tend to think, oh, I need to go to all the sessions that I can, and then you start getting frustrated because there's so many sessions where there are long queues, and into some you can't even get in because they fill up. And then you start to figure out, well, actually, you should focus on something that you can't get on video later, because all the sessions are available as videos within, say, a month or so after WWDC. But the thing that you can't get anywhere else is the networking, so kind of shaking hands and making acquaintances with all the development all stars there are, like Marco Arment and Matt Gemmell and all of these guys, and also making good conversations of a technical nature with Apple engineers. So one of the best things that you can do is to have a couple of technical issues that you have, or where you, something that you don't understand why it doesn't work like you think it should, and then to actually speak with the UIKit engineers who wrote the code that you have a problem with, or to go into a design review session that Apple does, or to talk to the app review guys what they think about a certain thing that you plan to do, or explain to you a certain thing that they rejected and didn't give much more information. All these people are there at WWDC and available, but you miss out if you slavishly try to fill up your schedule with classes, as you call them.
The labs are, I should have mentioned before, but the labs are something that I'm really excited about because I have quite a few questions, especially on code APIs and stuff that they're getting rid of. So looking for suitable replacements for stuff like that. Filling up the sessions, yeah, definitely could potentially be a problem. So definitely want to avoid that. But what I don't want to run into is going into any classes that I'm not really gonna use, you know what I mean? So it will be nice. I think last year they had a didn't they have like a WWDC app?
They have an app, and there's a one funny sport that you can also play then. That is, before the keynote, there will be, say, a third of the sessions that don't have a name. They will have a name to be determined. And there's a feature you can star like favorite sessions, so that you have them in a quick list. And what I did, many other people did that as well, was to star all the to be determined sessions, and then after the keynote we would see, okay, these are the topics that were kept secret until basically the press was out of the building. And so these are the things that are revolutionary, new, Apple didn't want anybody to know about, that isn't under NDA. And well, sessions of the sort of automatic reference counting. Yeah, that was one of the things that was secret. And so that's something that's cool. And well, even though these sessions will be available for on video later, it's kind of you want to be in the room when history is made.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the sessions that I won't be taking are the getting started sessions. So definitely can skip over those. iCloud, I can skip over those because, I mean, unless they make any changes, as you said. So we'll see about that. But I was actually the first developer to release a Mac app, a Mac note-taking app that used iCloud. And pretty much all my apps now I'm implementing iCloud. That's something I really stress in my apps. So can skip over those. So Most of the classes that I'll be taking are those to be determined classes, so
So you are
that
quite a
yeah.
daredevil there. I have another colleague of mine from Austria. He's the maker of MindNode, and he's skeptical about the stability of iCloud in conjunction with Core Data, because there are so many open issues. It could happen that your database becomes corrupt and so on. So don't you have any worries there, or don't you use Core Data and do everything with the key value store, or what's your secret?
Well, what I do is I have lots of issues with iCloud. I definitely do. And it sometimes can cause for bad reviews. For example, iCloud, when you add a note into my app, you have a list. And if you change the order of it, the order doesn't go into iCloud, and iCloud will change the order all the time. So, really annoying for that for a lot of users. Also, it's not that stable. It doesn't sync as quickly as you would like. So yeah, there are a lot of worries. But what I do to avoid a lot of data loss is I store the text files to a folder in the system preference, not system preferences, I take that back. In the application support folders, I store different text files with all the notes, and I also have text files in iCloud. And what it does is it scans both of them and finds like the most recent note of a version and then adds it, things like that. And that way, when it is like something, if like iCloud just shuts down, you can still have your notes and it can keep things stable. So I can kind of avoid any issues with
So
iCloud that
do
way.
you use iCloud and file-based syncing at the same time?
No, I don't use the file system to sync the notes, but I use it for the application as a backup system, just
Ah,
in case
smart.
iCloud goes down.
So
Because
it's
I've
like
built in things that test iCloud every like 30 seconds.
it's a fallback, basically. If there's no iCloud available for some reason, you would still have the local
Yeah.
version.
Yeah.
Smart, smart. Well, speaking about young and smart, now it's the first time that Apple lets somebody below 18 on the premises, and I think I remember seeing that they said, yeah, you have to bring a legal guardian who also has to have a WWDC ticket. So how does this work out for you? Are you bringing one or two of your parents?
I actually didn't see that and because they have a FAQ for the scholarships, and I didn't see that at all. The only thing I've seen is parents are not required to go, so that's not very informative. What the issue is right now, we have called Apple and asked, can I bring my father, because he'll be the one going with me, to WWDC, even though he doesn't hold a ticket, and even if he did, let's just say. And their response was, we don't know. So, in fact, we've talked to the people that made this decision for the WWDC event, and they didn't even see this coming. They didn't have any idea, didn't make the connection that because I'm a minor, I'm gonna have to bring my adult. Because the fear is that they're gonna have 150 extra people that they didn't plan on. So
So they
we.
have too little space as it is, and now they would even have to accommodate for the all the parents accompanying all the scholarship people, right?
Yeah, definitely. No, that's the fear. I mean, I'm sure not all of them are going to have a parent. For example, the 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and definitely the 17-year-olds probably won't bring a parent. So And my guess is that the 14 and 13 year olds, there's a lot less of them that receive the scholarship. But yeah, that is their fear. They have very little room. I mean, it's sold out in under 2 hours, so they definitely are out of room because there's a lot of seats that somebody would be willing to take if they could. So that is the concern.
Well, let me just see. I just pulled up the WWC slash scholarship page on Apple's site and says, to be eligible to apply for a WWC 2012 student scholarship, you must be a paid member of the iOS developer program, which you are.
Yep.
iOS developer enterprise program, a Mac developer program, or an iOS developer university program student, blah, as of August 1st or later. It says, or a minor sharing a registered Apple developer account with a parent who is enrolled as a paid, but you are enrolled yourself, or are you enrolled via your father?
Well, I have both the Mac and iOS developer programs. They're under my father's name, and the reason is because in 2008, it was not allowed for a minor to get these programs. So my dad said, I'll put in my name, Social Security, all that stuff.
So
But
that's the second thing, and you are eligible because of this. Let me just say, whoop, travel not reimbursed, no transportation will be provided. Attendance at certain WWC may be prohibited based on age. Well, that's the bash.
yeah,
And
just the batch.
I thought that I saw that somewhere, but apparently, due to the severe lack of tickets and the 2 hour sellout, they seem to kind of silently have removed this. As to free up, how many students do you think there will be? 150, you said?
Yeah, they said they would give 100 way 150 tickets. I mean, they have the disclaimer, well, they might not, they may give more, stuff like that. But it's 150 pretty much.
So basically, what they can do is to eliminate 150 or ma free up 150 tickets by relaxing any kind of, yeah, you have to bring your parent or so to sort of, it's okay if you bring a signed piece of paper by your parents that it's okay for you to be in a building with 3,500 adults.
Again, they haven't had any response. Last we checked, the support ticket that we entered in, it keeps going up. So there has been no response. It could go anyway, really. That's possible. It's possible that they'll allow the parents to go. I mean, they probably won't require it. That's my guess, though.
Well, it's kind of interesting what Apple will do in such situations where it's not clear what the optimal way forward is. Clearly they had a faster sellout than they anticipated, because from the point in time when they launched the ticket sales, it was clear that they were kind of planning on having sort of like 4 hours, so that you have East Coast, West Coast, Europe, and some parts of Australia being awake at that time. But
Right.
it was too fast, so
Yeah.
many people on the West Coast weren't even at work or even awake at that time. So that tells us, oh, that's a snafu. Apple just didn't think they will. They might have assumed that it will be faster than 8 hours, like last year, but 4 times as quick with all the extra things that they put in. Because you could only buy one ticket if you are an individual, only 5 tickets if you are a company, and then only for people who are on your company development team and so on. All of these things, even canceling tickets of people who were buying for different accounts but on the same IP address with the same credit card, which kind of, there was lots of, whoa, how can they cancel my thing?
Right.
Now, Apple clearly is surprised by their own success in this case.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think they were planning on it to sell out that quickly. I don't think.
Go ahead.
I don't think that they planned it to sell out that quickly.
Well, now, okay, you applied, you won, you will get in. Are you from the area or will you have to travel to San Francisco?
Well, because I'm in Connecticut, it's on the other side of the nation, so definitely we'll have to travel.
So, have you already arranged hotel and stuff? Because I find it's probably hard not knowing whether you will bring your father, or would he spend the week in San Francisco if he doesn't get in, just to kind of have the base for you.
Yeah, he would spend the week with me. We want to register the hotels, make the reservations, get the plane tickets, all that. But we really can't until we hear the answer to this question on whether or not parents, because if it's a no, then we're not sure what's going to happen. If it's a yes, which is likely, since they can't really legally say no, then we'll go. So we haven't made any steps to get the plane tickets or anything.
Well, let's hope for the best and assume that this will come to pass. Now, you have some expectations about WWDC. So, what are these? What do you think you're going to see there? And maybe do you have some ideas what they will present there that could be of interest to you?
Definitely. I have been testing Mountain Lion since the day it came out, so that's definitely going to happen. I Was 6 is pretty likely.
A
What
preview
I'm
or
hoping
a
for.
beta or a release?
Excuse me?
Do you think we're going to kind of just get a sneak peek, or do we already get a beta, or would it even just kind of 1 month later be a release of iOS 6? What do you think?
With iOS 6, I think it's a beta. And the reason is because you may or may not have heard this, but for about 1 hour, iCloud had switched to an iOS 6 version. And I was able to access it at that time, and it gave me a message when I accessed it on my computer. You must have the iOS 6 beta to use this on your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. So my guess
Interesting.
is they're going to release an iOS 6 beta for sure.
Interesting. How was it different? I haven't heard about it. So tell me. That is news. Tell me
Yeah.
what was different in this iOS beta thing?
It was for iCloud. The website had changed. There was a photo sharing edition and two other things. It shut down very quickly, so I didn't actually get to see the whole thing. In fact, I was unable to log in, so I only saw the front with the iOS 6 beta message, stuff like that. So it sounds pretty interesting, and I would really like to see the photo sharing thing to be kind of a return of like galleries like we had in Mobile Me and Dot Mac.
Well, if the Apple I think already announced something or kind of hinted that they are going to do commenting on, or was it just a rumor? I don't know. On photos and sharing, so that might be that. But if they start with filters like Sepia and Tilt-Shift and so on, then I'm going to really laugh out loud because that means basically they are going to try to do what Instagram did. And kind of have an Instagrammized iCloud photo sharing there.
I would actually kind of like if they didn't go that far. I think they've kind of done that before. And Ping was a failure. They tried to mix Twitter and Facebook with music, and it was horrible, and it is horrible. So I would like to see them not go that far with the effects. It would I don't think they would do that great of a job. Maybe some editing, like cropping, red eye, stuff like that. Maybe tilt shifts, things like that. But effects, I don't want to see. I mean, if they do, that would be really funny because they're definitely would be trying to be like Instagram.
Well, the thing about Ping is it lost most of its appeal when the contract or relationship with Facebook didn't work out, because it seems that Apple was in talks with Facebook to integrate it, and they just couldn't kind of agree on something. So in the last minute, Facebook was pulled out of Ping. And there are also, if you look at iOS 5, the tweet sheets, the names of the classes hint in a way to there being more than just Twitter, kind of different kinds of services. And you know, in Mountain Lion, there we have these what's it called? Share sheets?
Share sheets.
Share sheets. And I think the road that Apple tries to go there is to have the logins for all kinds of services, so not just Twitter, but also Facebook and maybe some OAuth services and social networks and so on. Have all of these centralized in the settings of the iPhone, so that you can code against an API that allows you access to these if the user permits it, as opposed to having to implement a Facebook API and a Twitter API. Well, we already have a Twitter API in iOS 5, but we might see a Facebook API in iOS 6, don't you think? And maybe other social networks.
Yeah, I mean, it's likely. I think it's a 50-50 chance. Just going back a little bit, I think Ping personally did well not to integrate Facebook personally. I really don't like Facebook. Don't want to go there with all the privacy things. I think a lot of people would have abandoned Ping. But Ping, the idea of integrating it to iTunes and just music and stuff, kinda didn't really work. And besides that, it has a really ugly interface. Going back to the Facebook and iOS and stuff, it's likely. And then it could be unlikely again as well. I think Apple really thinks Twitter is a lot safer and better than Facebook. With Mountain Lion, Facebook has not been integrated at all, really. It's only been integrated in sharing movies from QuickTime. But other than that, they've completely removed Facebook from Mountain Lion. So that could hint at maybe video sharing to Facebook from iOS, but I don't see Facebook being fully integrated.
Okay, can't you share photos from iPhoto with Facebook?
No, you can only do it. Oh wait, w from iPhoto. I forget. I think maybe you can't.
I'm not
Built
sure.
into
Do we
iPhoto, yeah.
have it open somewhere? iPhoto 11.
I don't really think I have iPhoto, really. I have Aperture, but
Okay.
that's it.
Oh yeah, you're the pro. No, lowly iPhoto, but you go with the pro tool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and any other things you expect from WWDC?
Well, I think we'll see more with Mountain Lion. Maybe possibly a full release or just like a Golden Master seed. Then my hope is we've been hearing a lot of rumors about a Retina display MacBook Pro, maybe a Retina display iMac. Personally, I'm hoping that they do a Retina display MacBook Air. I really like the MacBook Air, and I think the 11-inch model especially would do very well with the Retina display. So I don't see that happening because they haven't done a hardware announcement at WWDC besides an iPhone in a really long time. So I see it more likely as happening during WWDC, but they're not actually doing a keynote about it.
You mean similar to the mountain lion thing, which wasn't really an announcement, it was just kind of suddenly available on the website.
Yeah, kind of like the Mountain Lion and also the latest generation of the MacBook Airs. They were both quietly announced.
Well,
So.
what's so funny is up the street from WWDC, there's the big Central San Francisco Apple store. So Steve Cook could go like, yeah, and by the way, today we also launch some great new MacBooks, but you have to go up to the street to the Apple store to actually see what we released. And now on with
Yeah.
iOS. All right. So new hardware, maybe iOS. Do you have some more feature wishes for iOS 6? Personally, something that would get you excited?
I definitely do. I would like to see no widgets or stuff on the home screen, because lots of rumors about that, where you're gonna have like widgets or like a weather widget on your icon home screen of the springboard. And I really hope they don't do that. So no Android notness in iOS 6. So that's something I wouldn't like to see. Something I would like to see.
Wouldn't it be great if you could use like a dash code that you have on the Mac to make sort of an HTML and JavaScript based widget that you can then put on, say, not the home screen, but maybe a separate screen between the app icons and the search thing.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. Maybe kind of like, you know how Spotlight in iOS kind of has like the curved card almost look? That could be a possible where an entire page is a widget. So that could be possible, but then they could argue, oh, just make an HTML5 web app in that case, you know, because it is pretty much the same thing.
But you would still have to launch that, even though you have a button and it launches Safari. It wouldn't be sort of a on only taking as much space as it really needs. Like maybe it's just a one line of text that is the sum of your share portfolio, and you don't want to spend the entire screen on that. Just have it as a at a glance.
I mean, it's possible, but I think Apple, although they say multitasking is awesome, blah, 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 I don't think they really like the idea of having an app running at the same time. It's kind of like an app, it's a web app. I mean, I just don't see that happening, really.
So you wish that this doesn't happen. Is there something that you wish that does happen?
Yeah, definitely. I would like to see some more integration with Siri. Siri is really nice, but more APIs that integrate it with other apps. That would be really nice. So then you could say like create a new note, but it would create in like Evernote or like My App Scroll, for example. So that would be really nice if you can have some integration with Siri in iOS for third-party developers. So that would be really cool. I would also like to see a better photo app. The Apple has released iPhoto, and that's a good move, but I would like to see that as the default photo app and on the iOS platform. Because really, they should have put that in the first place. And then also, I want to say something about iPhoto and iMovie, the latest versions that came out recently with the trailers in iMovie and iPhoto as a whole. What's pretty surprising about iPhoto is it doesn't work on the iPod Touch, and I've hacked it so it does. It works flawlessly on the iPod Touch. So I would like to see, if we don't see it as a built-in app, I would like to see it as added iPod Touch support. And then the same for iMovie trailers, since that doesn't work on the iPod Touch. But I also think iMovie iPhoto definitely should be integrated into the iOS operating system. Finally, I think that we should see Xcode on the iPod Touch, the iPhone, and the iPad especially into iOS. I don't, that could be a separate app, but I don't actually see that happening because we have instruments right now. And we can monitor everything on the Mac. And in Safari, there's an option that you can turn on a debugger, and it will show at the top like a bug debug, stuff like that for your web apps. And if you can have an instrument style integration into iOS for developers, I think that would be really helpful. So we can test it directly on our devices instead of connecting it to a Mac and then running the test, because you can do that at home.
So I don't understand quite how this would work. So would there be some sort of like you have an accessibility mode, you would have an instrumented mode, and that would sort of record all the events and leaks and so on, and then you could get them to your Mac, or how do you envision that?
Sort of the there's this, you know how there's a status bar in iOS, and there's also a navigation bar. I see like them adding in a system preferences, kind of like a setting that you can just switch on real quick. You can view, you can run an app, it'll save it, and you can view it in like graphs, like the speed of your app, all that directly on your device. And then you could switch it off, export it to the Mac, whatever.
Interesting idea. I haven't heard about that so far. Well, that's it for what Apple announces at the WWC. Do you have any kind of hopes or fears when it comes to the event itself? Any kind of what's your thoughts about going there? Any feelings?
I'll have to think about that. I didn't
Well,
really.
let me give you a couple of pointers that maybe you can hook into. When I went there for the first time, the first thing that was clear to me is that I had to queue for the keynote, and the only question was at around about what time would that be. So we ended up queuing, I think, was it at 5 or so in the morning? It was already wrapped around one of the sides of the building when I got there with my camping chair, and so that was the first thing that I wanted to be, is to be in the keynote, be there when it happens, and not kind of be in the overflow room. The second thing that I wanted to do is more or less go into all the sessions that had secret topics, as far as I'm in the remotest interested in them. And the third thing that I wanted to do is go to a couple of labs, and then that was basically all the things that I had in mind for that. Because then the fourth thing on my list was to go to one WWDC party for every evening, because you get drinks and food there mostly for free, and get to meet other developers. So that were kind of my plans for my first WWDC. But your plans might be different. So I'm asking you, do you have some kind of what do you think you'll do when you go to WWDC?
Well, keynote, obviously, that's something you don't want to miss. The labs and whatever's announced, I'm not sure what's announced, but iOS 6 and whatever changes to Mountain Lion, definitely want to do that. When I write apps, I want them to take advantage of the latest stuff, and part of that is not only having a great app, but it can also get you featured. So that's a good thing. For WWDC, not really planning to do any of the party stuff like that. I kind of want to hang out with my dad a bit, because that will be kind of exciting. Then for the keynote, I had read about wanting to queue for that because can you miss it? Can you like miss it because you're late or something?
Well, you can do the math yourself. There's like 3,500 people coming, and I think that the main auditorium only holds like 2,500 or maximum
Okay.
3,000. So there will be definitely a couple of hundred people who don't get in. Now, I queued such that I was on the second side of the building, and I think it wrapped around three sides. And that meant I got a seat, say in the back third of the auditorium, of the big room. They have three rooms, and Presidio is the large one, which is where the keynote is. That seats, I think, like 3,000 people. I'm not exactly certain there, but even queuing, say, in the middle of the whole queue, almost didn't get me back in. Yeah,
Okay,
it
so
was like
definitely queue early.
definitely
Definitely want
queue
to do
early.
that.
There are some hardcore people who start queuing like after midnight, after they went for food and maybe drinks and caught a movie, and then they queue. That you will also see people bringing a camping chair because standing around for a couple of hours is kind of not funny. So I bought a camping chair, a foldable one, for $10 in the there's a drugstore near the Apple store which sold these. And yeah, to give a short answer to that, definitely you have to queue early if you want to be in. If you don't mind, well, there are lots of people queuing, so if you get over the big time in the beginning where it's cold and not so interesting, the earlier in the morning it gets, the more things will be there, because there's companies who know that, okay, there's several thousand of iOS developers, so we want to use this as a marketing opportunity. So one thing that they do is they hand out t-shirts. There was one truck that passed out breakfast burritos like shortly, like
Nice.
at 8 or so. So there's lots of action to be had, and what I said before still is true, for even more so for the keynote, is that you should try to make some friends and kind of are you on Twitter? So what's your Twitter handle? Mine is this. What do you do? Show me your app. Tell me, did you have a nice trip here? And so there's lots of opportunity to chat with people, and maybe see some of these people for the first time that you've been following or being followed by on Twitter. So that's something that's definitely worth it, because if you can get close to somebody who's got some more knowledge than you, then you can ask him questions and tap into his experiences. And if he likes you, he will probably help you out if you ever have a problem. And don't need to waste a ticket with Apple over that. If it's just a simple question, how do I do X? Maybe he's already done that before.
So definitely we'll queue early for sure. So
Yeah.
sounds good.
So that's the queuing, and the second thing, the second major learning that I had is you don't have to be in all the sessions, because your brain just can't take it, because you're being overloaded with cool new things and additions to existing APIs, that your brain is working on overdrive to integrate all these new things, and you start kind of that your brain goes, ah, okay, there I've got this app and I want to add this, but how do I do that in a way that it's backwards compatible, or can't I do it backwards compatible? Like when they introduced storyboards, you start to think, oh, do I that would mean storyboards are cool, but would that mean I have to ditch iOS 4 so that I can use that and so on? All of this is heating up your brain, and you are brain dead and totally wrecked in the afternoon. Yeah, so you probably want to pick out, say, every other talk, and in the meantime, kind of find a bunch of people who look interesting. Chat to these. They also have free snacks and drinks all around, so you can just sit on the carpet or even one of the sofas that are standing around and drink something. And they have at the ground floor, behind the registration desk, there is a big hall, which is where the food is served, and that's also where they have gigabit Ethernet. So anything
Nice.
that you want to download, any betas or something, you cannot download them over the Wi-Fi network that they provide, but you have to plug your Mac into the wired Ethernet, and then you get really good speeds on the. They have set up. They usually set up proxies that are basically specialized on serving these betas, so that you have them really quickly. And that's the thing that I actually first didn't think they were serious when they said you should bring an Ethernet adapter for your MacBook Air.
Yeah, I have a MacBook Air too, so I'll have to bring a Ethernet adapter.
So before WWC, I went into the Apple Store and bought one of these because of that. That's the reason for why you need that, because you want to have the new software and the betas, but you cannot download them any other way. Hotel Wi-Fi usually doesn't cut it when it comes to 1 gigabyte new downloads, but this food hall slash download area is where you get these things. And obviously, since because you have to imagine large tables which have in the center a power strip and Ethernet plugs and hubs, and you have people sitting across the table from you and left and right, so there's again lots of chance to strike up conversations. And do much tweeting.
Not really,
So,
not too much.
well, what happens when you do is that people who you are in contact with over Twitter will say, "Okay, I'm here. Let's meet. Let's meet for lunch. Let's meet on one of the parties and so on." So, yeah, well.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty exciting week.
It will be. I'm really looking forward to it because now iOS 5 was kind of the big iCloud thing for Apple. So everything was dominated iCloud, iCloud, iCloud. So I'm really interested to see what the next big thing is. If
Yeah,
they
me too.
already go for iOS 6, and it seems to be there are people reporting it from server logs, and you saw it on the iCloud thing. So if it warrants a major release, like from 5 to 6, then that would tell me that there are major things in there, because otherwise why would they call it iOS 6 and not iOS 5.2 or 5.3? So there must be something big. We're lusting after the announcements there. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, you can't tell anybody, because otherwise Apple would shoot you, because it's everything is under NDA. But the thing is, you are amongst so many people who are also under NDA because they are developers. So you can be excited on the premises, and well, if you tell your folks at home, Apple will never know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, Paul, we've spent an hour now chatting about WWDC. I can feel that you are just as excited about WWDC and attending it as I am. So, well, the next thing we'll probably see of each other is being in the keynote queue. for WWDC, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, thank you for being on my show and telling us about how you got the scholarship. I wish you the best that you can sort this out with the parent or not, and the travel and so on. There's still a couple of hurdles that you need to jump over to actually get to it. So keeping my fingers crossed for you there.
All right. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for another episode of the Coconetics podcast. You will see, well, maybe, or not see, but there will probably be another episode next week if there are any news, and if there are no hardware problems like the last week. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and well, be seeing you.